thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of this broadcast, of us taking the time of being together. I don't know about you folks, but I am wound up over this Olivet Discourse. Sitting just a few feet from me is Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Doug.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I love this Olivet Discourse, just learning, just seeing what God has for us. We're going to be using this word. We talked yesterday about preparedness, being prepared. As Christians, we forget we're soldiers. We forget that. Listen, ladies, listen, man. I'm going to tell you, we need to be prepared. I've said that 100 times when I was in the Army, maybe 1,000 times. Be prepared. Know your rules. Know what's going on. Know what the enemy looks like. Know how the enemy's going to get here. Know how the enemy's going to hack. Be involved in these different things. But I'm here to tell you that we need to know the same things. And just a few days, we're going to be talking about Matthew 24:44 when we talk about preparedness. And it says, therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So when you say, boy, he's not coming today, well, he can come. The Lord can come at any time. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul says to the church at Corinth, they were messed up. They were making a ton of mistakes. He's slapping them around. There's a 30 mistakes anyway, a mistake for every day when we studied it in seminary. And here's old Paul telling the church at Corinth, he's saying, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And then the Bible tells us, Peter tells us over in 1 Peter 3, it said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. Know your testimony. Share it with people. Tell them why you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What the Bible says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a question of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Don't be, you know, the Lord's saying, listen, don't be arrogant about your salvation. Don't be saying, I'm saved and you're not. Nah. I think God should, slap that out of us, friends. And he does. I heard a joke one time, this great football coach, he was a college football coach at the University of Colorado, and he ran a religious movement. And he did in this country. And he was telling a joke about this taxi driver that he was tired and he had flown all day and he was trying to get to this conference, and he made the comment, he said, you know, when I was telling this taxi driver, just kept on asking me questions after he found out he was a preacher, he said, what are you going to do if you get to heaven and Hitler's there? What are you going to do with this? And what if you're going to do if he's not there? And he said, he looked at the taxi driver and said, you say hi to him for me. Folks, there's no glory that someone else is going to hell. There's no glory that someone else is not saved. There's no glory in this. We should never be arrogant. We should be humble. We should be so thankful. We should be the opposite of arrogant. God saved us. Do you realize where I come from? Do you realize where you come from? Do you realize what's God saved us out of all this crazy sin? God saved us. And I'll tell you, friends, that's so important that we got to grasp that. We got to get a hold of it. And Kevin, you know, preparedness means knowing the Word of God. Preparedness means accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Preparedness is always ready to give an answer to another person. Preparedness is knowing what the enemy looks like, knowing where the enemy's coming from, knowing how the enemy's going to act, know what deception looks like. It's okay to ask questions. Know that you're going to be betrayed. I mean, Kevin, we need to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned that great scripture that said, be ready always to give an answer to every man. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of you, the hope that lieth within you with meekness and fear. And there's a companion scripture that I think so is Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man.
Yeah.
So, as far as how to be prepared, it says, that you know how you ought to answer every man. So, you know, I don't think we need to go out with an answer for every, you know, like, well, I won't witness until I know how to answer everyone's question. I think we ought to say, you know what? I'm going to use grace seasoned with salt. I'm going to use, you know, the answer I'm going to be is gracious. Just be gracious.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you walk into a waiting room and someone, you know, says, I got a question, you know, and he may be trying to trip you up with a question. Hey, I'm an atheist. I noticed you're a Christian. You got a Bible in your hand. And he wants to trip you up. Be gracious. Don't think like you got to argue with the guy with an answer. The answer should be, number one, with grace. Just to say, you know what, man, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I know this. Without a doubt, this Bible's true because God showed me, because he saved me just like he said he would. And that's your testimony. That's good enough. And then you can go from there. But you learn by doing. You learn by answering. So, you know, you'll come up with a better answer next time if you're at a loss for words. But you can know you answer successfully if you answer graciously. And then season it with salt. That salt is that little bit of truth in Scripture where you're like, but I know what? The Bible's true. And do you know my Jesus? That's salt. You know, we're going to give an answer for this book. How about, are you ready? You know, do you know the Bible? You know, oh, yeah, I do know the Bible. Okay, well, you know, just give those, you know, just a bit of a pithy answer, kind of season the thing with grace. So you're going to give the guy a slice of grace, and you're going to have sprinkled on top of it some salt and something that's got a little bit of pungency to it. But primarily, it's going to be gracious. And that's changed my life. I'll be honest with you, Doug, when I read that Colossians 4:6, that's how I had to answer every man, not most men, every man. And then Paul told Philemon this, and I'll say this and hand it back over to you. Paul's prayer for Philemon was that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. In other words, you may become an effective communicator by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That is a mouthful. That is a word salad. But really what he's saying is you will become an effective communicator if you acknowledge. In other words, just remember, just admit it, just say, this is what I'm going to keep in mind. When I go out into the world and I get asked questions or have an opportunity to witness, I'm going to acknowledge every good thing that's in me by Christ Jesus. Again, I'm going to be gracious and say, you know what? God has given me all the things that I need for this answer and for this this discourse with this person, this dialogue with this person. So I'm going to take the opportunity to share with them what's in me. Well, God's given me, you know, the ability to do this. So I'm going to talk about that. God's given me a love for this. Okay, for instance, you're a biker dude. If you're a biker dude, you got a hog or two, you know, whatever, you got some mountain bikes. You know, you can bring up the person, well, let me just tell you something. If someone says, you know, what makes you tick? Why are you so happy? Well, yeah, I do. You say you like my bike. I do love my bike, too. Let me just tell you, I like my bike because it's dependable. You know what else has been dependable? Jesus Christ has been dependable for me. And you're acknowledging the gift that is in you, a good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That's been another game changer for me. The book of Philemon there in those first verses. So, yeah, this is again, preparation. How can I not stress out but be prepared? And the answer is God's already given you everything you need for life and godliness. Just go out of it confident with grace. God's already given you things. Let's just walk that.
Yeah, and friends, that's good, man. Trust God. Prepare as you can, but you don't have to have a PhD in theology to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I read a story about an old World War II veteran, and this guy was a corporal, and supposedly this man just by himself led thousands of people to the Lord during World War II. Mm-hmm. He was at a out-processing center, and they said, if you move, we'll promote you. If you go back, no, I want to be right here. And there was a general in World War II. His name was J.C. Lee, J.C. H. Lee. J.C. H. Lee was known for being a serious born-again Christian. As a matter of fact, Patton used to call him Jesus Christ himself, J.C. H. Lee. But Patton made the comment one time that if I have a soldier who's on a borderline of death, I'm not calling Eisenhower, I'm not calling Bradley, I'm calling Jesus Christ himself Lee, and because that man knows how he's going to say it. So we want to make sure we have things right. We want to make sure we have the answers. We want to be like J.C. H. Lee or General Lee from World War II, not the Civil War. I'm not too sure about his salvation. I know many of you are rolling around right now, or at least I'm not too sure about him sharing the gospel. His fable gets bigger by the years, but I am sure of this. I'm sure that God wants us to be prepared. I'm sure that God wants us to live a different life, to be able to share the word of God and to do it without offense. I knew a guy one time, Kevin. He was a preacher, and he was known as being a great preacher. And he would speak, and you know, it's his misophonia. I remember looking that up when I was a recruiter. You know, neurolinguistics, misophonia, where people make noise with their mouths. You know,
yeah.
And this guy, he would say a sentence like, "It's really good to see you today." And God's word is clear. It says this. And I'm telling you, that drove me crazy. So, folks, no misophonia out there. Working. I'm telling you, as somebody with ADHD and OCD and DUMB, I was ready to go up there and slap the guy and say, "Stop it! Yeah. Stop the
Pull
misophonia!"
Away from the microphone.
Yeah. If you were on recruiting duty, they would have fired you years ago. But folks, we get to share God's word. Know God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Know what God. Know that He's in your heart. That's all you got to say. He's in my heart. I'm happy today because Christ is with me. Mm-hmm. Folks, hey, hang with us. We'll be right back with you. Don't go anywhere.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Hey, folks, it's great to be back with you. And Kevin and I found ourselves during that break talking about misophonia there. It's one of those things you just got to get away from.
Yeah.
And but, folks, I'll tell you, God has been so good to us as we continue on with the verse-by-verse study of the life of Christ. We find ourselves in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Today we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 20. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on a Sabbath day." And so there's an abomination. So Jesus is referring to the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, which is referred to as an event in the desecration of the temple in Jerusalem by Antiochus IV. But Jesus here speaks of a future event. He's going on. So not only are we talking about Daniel, so we know that Daniel's a book of prophecy, like Revelation is a book of prophecy. We call the prophecy conference end times, eschatology. And he's talking, flee to the mountain. He's instructing those in Judea upon witnessing the abomination of desolation to flee to the mountains without delay. That emphasizes the urgency of the situation. And so God's telling us there's some urgency. You need to be prepared. And so Jesus is, not only is he reflecting on the need for readiness and the preparedness of the coming tribulation, he's advising us, be against hesitation. Be ready now. Take the time now. This is something we don't put on the back burner. This is something we're ready for. And I remember sometimes, you know, in the Army, people would say, "Why are we training? Why are we doing this same training we've done 100 times? But folks, when the bubble goes up, when we declared war in Desert Shield and Desert Storm, people were like, "Hey, how did we do that? What was it we said?" I can remember even the most knucklehead of soldiers coming back saying, "Hey, can we go over that again? Can we look at that? How do I clear my weapon? What's the best way to do that? What kind of oil should I use to clean it?" All of a sudden, you know, that rifle bore cleaner meant something to them. All of a sudden, that lubricant meant something to them. Well, God's saying, don't get to that point. And woe to specific groups. And Jesus, he's expecting this sympathy. He's expressing it for particular groups who face additional challenges during this time, like pregnant women and nursing mothers when you're in the end times, when the tribulation comes. And then he encourages his disciples to pray for their flight, to pray for what we're going through. And folks, can I tell you, prayer changes everything. And so he's using some of these prophetic times from Daniel, some of these prophetic times that are happening, but he's using them to come in again. These types of things are happening again. And when tribulation comes, folks, there's going to be like babes, these people, we need to come to Christ like babes. There's going to be those who dent. And boy, they're going to be stuck. And there's, you know, they're going to be stuck in the tribulation. But those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ, those of us who go through this, the Lord's telling us, pray for favorable circumstances. Pray for these groups of people we're talking to. Share the word. Be prepared. Have an urgency. Be ready. We don't know when the bubble's going up, Kevin. We don't know when things get real. And God wants us to know it could happen at any time. It could happen in a flash of a moment, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah, let's be aware as we read these things and go through these verses, verse by verse, that, you know, there's instruction for us. And certainly the thing about the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, that's way too much to cover in, 5 minutes here or 10 minutes. but I will say this, Jesus said, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." That was in verse 15. So these things are not meant to be non-understandable. Prophetic things are not like, "What? Nobody really understands. I think if anyone says they understand, they don't really understand." No, Jesus said, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." So don't get hung up that prophecy is because there's confusion about it. No, there's deception about it. And the deception has caused the confusion. Read your Bible. Look at the scriptures. And whoso readeth, let him understand. Ask questions. But and don't Google everything. You know, get some good books. Get, you know, some of those old books from 1,500 years ago. Just some good stuff. Look up the Abomination of Desolation. But Jesus did talk about Daniel the prophet. In the book of Daniel, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy whole city to finish the transgression, to make end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bringing of everlasting righteousness. So God was telling Daniel, yeah, Israel has been really messed up. They're in captivity right now. And this is what is, let me give you a time frame, what's going to take place. And he said in verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, forecast in the scriptures. In fact, it followed according to that time frame being sevens. So 62 weeks, meaning groups of 7 years. That's what weeks can refer to in the scriptures, different times. But the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. By the way, the word weeks is used as 7 years back in, in the book of Genesis, where Jacob told, Laban told Jacob, "Hey, fulfill thy week, work the 7 years." So, you know, a week is a seven. That's what it means. Anyway, don't have time to get into, you know, interpreting all that, but he talks about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Jesus talked about that, and it's talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel. There's a 70th week that is the coming tribulation. In between the 69th and 70th week is the church age. That's the age we're in now. Soon to come, the trumpet will sound. Jesus is going to come back. There'll be another week of 7 years. That's the great tribulation, and it is understandable. But whoso readeth, let him understand. And then Jesus talked about it's going to be the worst trauma that the world's ever known. And this is, I'll leave you this encouragement that when Jesus said, "Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains and the housetop don't come down. If you're, you know, woe to them that give suck." He was giving a vigilance and an awareness of the extreme danger in this time. And I'm thankful that God gives us an awareness of danger. Let me just tell you, in the near fulfillment, this is how it played out. 70 AD, Titus did surround Romans surrounded Jerusalem. Rome was about to be leveled, and all the Jews were going to be killed. You know, it's about all the Jews. What about the Christians? Jesus is talking, you know, to his disciples here. What about the Christians? The Christians that were watching the imminent destruction of Jerusalem were reading and taking heed to what Jesus had said, and God showed up in the form of, and they didn't have the word of God back in. An angel, it said, actually warned them and said, "This is what Jesus talked about." And they fled on a night that they were waiting and praying, and the Roman government pulled back one night during the siege, And they evacuated to Pella, and not a single Christian died in the destruction of Jerusalem. Doug, I say this, let's pay attention to what Jesus said. The best situation is in the center of God's will, the most safe place, as we go into the far fulfillment of the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the world, is to be in the center of God's will, and God will show us how to ride it out.
You know, the Coast Guard uses the term semper preparedness, always prepared, always there, always ready. Every branch of the military, every branch of public service is always ready, always prepared for that thing. We need to be prepared. And stay away from that misophonia, as we talked about today. Making those mouth noises and trying to get them off. But folks, I'll tell you this. You know, Jeremiah explains the 70 weeks being 70 years, being over in Genesis. So Kevin was absolutely right about that. I'll tell you, I don't know how long God has for us, but his word has told us, and we have looked at the last few days, that we don't know when he's going to come anytime. Dear friends, all joking aside, be prepared. Be ready. Have your heart and your mind right. And, you know, don't get to heaven and say, boy, I wish I would have, could have. Be that person that would have, could have, do it now. And help us all, because we all could say that, can't we? Well, we sure do love you, folks. We look forward to getting at it tomorrow, talking about the Great Tribulation. May God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk with you real soon.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.